The Lord does unusual things in our lives, and sometimes we're so in tune with what we want to happen, and the Lord redirects that, and he really redirects that. Sometimes some people's misfortune, some people's brokenness or major mistake becomes the miracle for another person. A 14-year-old kid got pregnant. And the family couldn't take care of that baby. And it's interesting that God spoke to us about doing it. And I have not regretted one day that God gave Sandra and I the heart to adopt children. Let me tell you a real big. And I said it to a lady that was at our church 2 weeks ago, and it just blew her mind on Mother's Day. Because of Mother's Day, and I'll be real brief, I surprised them, and I had our men to do a special service and serve all the mothers. I said, I want to give every one of them roses, every woman there. And I had them, and just blew the women away. And one lady was there visiting. She said, you know, I saw her walk out because she was sitting up front, and Caucasian lady was, you know, was there. And she said, I felt like you were insensitive to people who were adopted. You never mentioned it. And I said to her, and she had tears in her eyes. I said, I'm the last person to be insensitive toward that. And I said, I'm going to tell you something that it'll liberate your life if you let it. And it is this. That's how you got in the family of God. I said, the next thing, as long as you use that term, you would never be able to operate, listen, as a first-class citizen in God's kingdom. And her husband hugged me. I said, you have to drop that label. Is it sinking in? Wow. Because there are men who have dadded children who lack the capacity to stay connected with God to get what they needed to father them in the house with them, have done a far worse job than God empowered me to do with the ones I adopted. And the only thing worse than being there is to be there and not do what you're supposed to do. Amen. So I am honored. I'm going to have some blessed sons. Let me tell you how blessed this is. Yesterday and this morning we got up, and I had the privilege, and I pray for them all the time. But we got up and had prayer yesterday morning and this morning together. And that was an honor for me because I never grew up with my dad. My dad never prayed for me. I never lived one day of my life with my dad. So when I see God doing these things, it always encourages my heart because it lets me see what I missed. But just because I missed it don't mean others around me have to miss it. Amen. Now, thank God for Lee Grady being the visionary of Bold Venture. And we certainly thank God for you for the opportunity to come here. I just thank you. I'm going to tell you a story about some people today. God often changes leaders, but ultimately, God loves Israel. Had a serious love for him. He had a real serious love for Israel. It's interesting that when God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12, and he speaks to Abraham, God has a great plan that's going to unfold, that's going to manifest itself in the earth. And that people needed a father. They were going to need a spiritual father. So that means God had to start that with somebody. Abraham was the person that God started that with. Several things. As key as Abraham is, and although he is known as the father of many nations, father of our faith, some would even say, God was really after Isaac. Even their spouses were significant in the plan of God. When Abraham and Sarah conspired and got together to bring Hagar into the picture, that could not produce a son. It could only produce a boy. Because Hagar produced a boy after the flesh, but Isaac would be a child of the spirit because he was a child of promise. Well, God hid Isaac in Abraham, but in Isaac, he had Jacob. And with Jacob is how he gonna get Israel. Can you see it? Do I need to say it again? He hid Isaac in Abraham. He hid Esau and Jacob in Isaac. It is through Jacob that he have 12 sons through 4 different women. And the 12 sons is how he get the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that right? Do I have Bible scholars? Is that right? Is that right? That's right, isn't it? They had to be fathered. It's a nation of people that's going to be birthed. Throughout the Old Testament, you see prophets that change. You see judges. You see kings. Every leader that God gave for Israel's purpose was for the purpose of keeping them on course with what God required of them. Ultimately, what God was going to do in a nation, first of all, he started it in a person, but ultimately, he's going to do it in the world. But he started with a person. Here's the deal. I want you to get this. It is important when God called for something, the channel has to be pure that he's going to produce it through. Hagar was not the one to bring this to pass. It was Sarah. I want you to hear this statement. When it came time for Isaac to get a wife, it couldn't just be any woman. Abraham gave an instruction to his servant to take him back to their homeland. And don't just let him pick someone that has a nice chest and a nice behind. Make sure that she's in our bloodline. Amen. That's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that even with Jacob, when he worked for Laban, and Laban had daughters named Leah and Rachel. Amen, amen. And although he went to work for 7 years for one, and at the end of the 7 years, then her father didn't keep his word and gave him the other daughter. But in his heart, there was this desire. There was this burning in his heart. He knew that was not his wife. Because it was not in line with what the will of God was. God is after Israel. Got it? Oh, this is good. Be careful with who you lay with, because you might lose interest in who you want to play with. Men like to play, but everything in your life is put there for purpose. Why do we have spiritual fathers anyway? Now let's talk about it. Several things they do, because they help connect you to purpose and destiny. Purpose is God's original intent. It's the thing God created you for. It's who God created you to be. And although purpose originates in God, but it takes a man. Listen, God connects your destiny to a man. It's from him, but it's to a man. That's the reason when he was preaching about Elisha and Elisha, when he said, the Lord commanded me to go to Jordan. He says, where you go, I'm going. Because he realized his destiny was in him. He said, the Lord told me to go to Gilgal. He said, where you go, I'm going. Because he realized his destiny was in that man. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings 19, when God spoke to Elijah about Elisha, then Elisha knew nothing about the conversation. When Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him, he never told Elisha to follow me. There was an ability within him that God put in our heart that connects us to. Amen. He never told him to follow him when he cast his mantle on him. Amen. He said, let me go back and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will come back and follow thee. He said, what have I to do with thee? But he knew his destiny was connected to this man. It is amazing to me that out of all men's pain, that we've had to endure with our natural dads, that the Lord go through great lengths to connect us with men in the spirit who have put down and given safety, given guidance, and given direction. God have given you individuals that he has given his heart to give you, and sometimes that's not good enough. Because I heard the imbalance of somewhat that Brother Antoine talked about, how spiritual fathers sometimes mess up. They really do. But sons do hurricane messing up. We have tornado mistakes. They are swift and they are rapid. Amen. Sometimes we walk off at the drop of a hat. Amen. Listen, sons won't want relationships without covenant. They want friendship in the place where they ought to have relationship. And that's why they never get into intimacy, and they're always concerned about sex, which is the fulfillment of flesh. And here's God have called us to move in dimensions of the spirit, not move from level to level. Well, level to level deal with devil to devil. And sometimes we can't navigate, we can't deal with the influence and the powers that be, because we've not connected in spirit like we need to be. God have given spiritual fathers to help navigate your course. And sometimes when you want to do your thing, your desires can be so great. Your desires can be so great that a spiritual father can tell you, if I was you, let me just give you some counsel here. And sometimes they're telling you, let's recalculate your route. But because you're set on taking that route, because every destiny, you cannot have a destiny and it doesn't have a destination, which is a route. God let other men travel the road before he put you on the street. Wow. Here's the deal. It's interesting how this unfolds. Because God did with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 when he makes choice. But in Genesis chapter 17, God comes back, and this is where spiritual fathers come from. In Genesis 17, 1, he come and said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. But he does something else. Because no man should be walking alone. Wow. God have carefully chosen you, he carefully chosen, listen, the vital relationships of your life. But they have to be discerned in time. Can't connect with me because I wear a shirt and tie. I may not be no good inside. I may be selfish. I may not have your best interests at heart. Amen. Often people come to our church. I'm the last guy in town that probably takes people in. Sometimes people ask questions over and over. Well, when do you take people in? I always tell them, keep coming until the Spirit connects you. And if the Spirit doesn't connect with them, and if they come, because most people want to just come because they like the excitement and the hype of what they think is different. But at the end of the day, we have a perfecting anointing, and we are called to grow people up. I father people. They get mad. I tell them the truth. If your life ain't changed in 3 months, you do need to leave here. Amen. Because I ain't got time to play games with that. I love people. I don't like people to make a fool like me, because I know what God put, how God raised me up to do what I do. Amen. We train our staff to do it. Amen. So if they want all, we don't have anything vested. They're not in our hearts. But God needs to connect our hearts, because we're not in the member business. These are sons and daughters that belong to God. Amen. Listen to me. And the wandering should stop when they find a father. They have to decide whether they want a preacher or a father. Wow. Even your boards. That's why most leaders are aggravated, because they got boards who don't have their heart. They want God, but they don't want their leaders. Well, God impart into you through your leader. Amen. This is awesome. This is awesome. You are quiet. Isn't that awesome? Listen, it's going to bless your socks up. It's going to bless your socks up. Here's the deal. When God connects you, spiritual fathers make sure that each generation listen, has its own security. Yes. Yes. That a people be secure in that generation. Yes. Are you with me? Watch this. Elijah mentored Elisha. Elisha, what he got from Elijah is going to impart it into Gehazi. Elisha kept a spiritual focus about the reason that he was with Elijah. Double portion. 2 Kings 5, there's a guy by the name of Naaman that had a disease called leprosy. I got to hear it. Come on. Listen, here's the deal. Naaman has a disease. He get cured of it, of the disease by going to the river like the man of God commanded him to. When he come up out of the river, the disease was gone. And when they started back to their homeland in their chariot, Gehazi, I'm just Jeff Thresh now. Gehazi was, I'm just peeping around the house to see where Elisha was. And listen, when he was peeping, and when he got the drop on it, when he didn't see him, he took off behind the chariot. And when they turned around and saw him running after the chariot, they began to stop the chariot to ask him, is it well? Oh, wait, what's going on? And when he stopped them, and he went to inquire about being paid for the miracle that had been performed. Listen to me. He went behind his spiritual father's back and collected something that God set in place. Well, listen to this. That little silver and them clothes caused him to forfeit a double anointing. Because if Elijah is noted for doing seven miracles and Elisha received a double portion of anointing, he's probably recording 14. So that means Gehazi should have done 21. Can you see it? Rather than stand in a position, if you see me when I'm taken up, Elisha knew it because he did it. And he knew it was going to require Gehazi's focus. If God was going to bless him like he really needed to. This is good stuff right here. Listen, let me ask you something. How easily is your focus broken from the person God connected you to? What does it take to distract you from purpose? From staying connected? You cannot have an impact if you didn't receive an impartation. Spiritual fathers are given to you to empower you for times of transition. And you are going to transition. This is interesting. Because he gave up a deposit for silver and raiment. Here's the next thing. Spiritual fathers are given to help you bring things into focus that you can't see around you. In 2 Kings 6, there's a servant, and the mountain is circled by chariots, and Elisha is there, and the servant is there. And he say, oh, master, we are outdone. Hey, come help me with this. I'm a bald head generation. I'm old school. Help me keep it on. There it is. Listen, in 2 Kings 6, he says this. Boy, this is so good right here. Woo! He says, listen. He said, master, how are we going to do it? It looked like they're going to get wiped out. See, that's what sons say when they don't have confidence in the father's ability that's with them. How are we going to do it? Look like we ain't going to make it. We outnumbered. And finally, Elisha says, we're going to do well. Spiritual fathers help calm your fears.
Yes. Yes,
help you to deal with your inadequacies, your insufficiencies. How shall we do? And he makes this statement, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Because you can be looking at something and not see it. And we assemble all the time with people in congregations and with men. And we are declaring things and we are saying things to them by way of the Spirit. But because they are not familiar with different things in realms of the Spirit, they are listening, but they are not hearing. And it is not listening that produces faith. It's hearing that produces faith. So most men are unable to trust the unseen. Listen,
Because faith faith deals with sound, not sight. So we are limited in our direction and our steps. Are you with me? Interesting. Here's the next thing fathers do. In Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. But also in Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, I'm going to make thee a father of many nations, starting at verse 4 through verse 6. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Matter of fact, said it two times to Abraham in that verse. And you come on down a little bit farther, he says to his wife Sarah, but I'm going to also make her a mother of the nation that's going to come out of her. This is interesting. Fathers cultivate. It is important that fathers cultivate. They know how to cut back. They know how to prune. Necessary. Necessary for growth and development. If they don't cultivate, well, that's why he tells Adam in the garden to till it, dress it, cultivate it. Dress it, cultivate it. You can never address something in someone that you refuse to dress. You're going to address him, but you hadn't dressed him in righteousness when you're teaching him discipline as a pastor. You're going to address his flaw. Wow. But you didn't bother to tell him, leave them women alone. If you do this, you're going to get in trouble. Don't take church money. Men and leaders fail because sometimes leaders don't address issues with leaders. And when it blow up, we're trying to address it, but we wouldn't put the time in to help dress them. Anything you fail to cultivate will eventually grow outside of its purpose. Unless he cultivate the garden where a tree should be, it's going to produce weeds. You cultivate to keep it from becoming what it was never designed to be. It's kind of quiet in this place today. You can say amen or something. I'll buy you a Chick-fil-A biscuit if you say amen. I mean, you don't help a brother out. Don't leave me out here like this. Often you have great desires. Often God have given you dreams. God have dealt with your heart about things. Sometimes God deal with you in night vision. Sometimes you are stumbling over things that's going on in your heart that you can't define. That you can't bring reason to it. You can't understand it. God dealing with you in the spirit about something and you're trying to filter it through your carnal, unrenewed mind to get a spiritual outcome. That's why you have spiritual fathers. Listen, there has to be someone in your life that's not afraid of you. And that's not afraid to get up in your face. I'm not talking about with no bully stuff. Getting up in your face to help keep you on course with the will of God for your life. To tell you what things are not profitable for you in this season. It does not mean it's not profitable for your life, but it may not be profitable for that season. Spiritual fathers help you discern seasons in your life. If you can't discern seasons and times, amen. And purpose can be fulfilled even at the expense of God bringing you out of a process in one place and relocating you in another place without abandoning the purpose. So sometimes God have to move you for a season to keep you connected to his original reason for creating you. Are you with me today? I'm still talking about Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, somewhere verse 9, and let me just bring it into focus for you right there. I think this is just really crucial. Because, well, let me back up just a minute before he rang the bell. Listen, in Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, take your son Isaac, thine only son, to a mountain that I shall tell thee of and offer him there. This is important. It is through growth and development of Abraham. Listen, Isaac is here. The waited, the late promise. And now God says, take him and offer him up. Fathers cannot walk through difficult times with you unless they grow through difficult times themselves. Amen. Sometimes we get selfish, but have you considered what your spiritual fathers have to go through to be to you who they are?
Do you know how much they have to do without what they want to do sometimes just to obey God concerning you? Do you understand? You want the pleasure of it, but he had to walk, endure the pain of it. Do you know what it means to go tell Sarah, God want me to sacrifice Isaac? Do you know what that means? After what Hagar and Ishmael had already put her through? Do you know what that means? They waited 25 years for it. And when they find the manifest, God says, offer it up. Are you with me? So God do things to get you from where you are to where you're supposed to be. That's what he told Abraham, Genesis 12, get thee out. Told him to leave home. Don't take your relatives with you. Listen to me. Didn't give him a zip code. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have an iPhone that he could program with that was voice activated to tell him where to turn. All that was because of somebody else. Got it? First Samuel. Israel wants a king. Everybody else got a king. We want one. All my friends got one. How come I can't have one? Come on, can you see it? Well, let me show you what God did for Israel in that regard before I tell you about Saul and Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a lady by the name of Hannah. Her husband's name is Elkanah. She had been barren. Finally, God moves on her heart. There's a priest in the temple by the name of Eli. Eli reminds me of Lee Grady. Eli is a portrait of Lee Grady to me as I begin to look at that. Because at a certain season, they brought Samuel back to the temple, and they left him there with Eli to raise him in the temple, and she and her husband went back home. They left him there. Wouldn't it be great? We would really turn out godly sons if mothers really had a godly man to put them in the hand of when they were babies. Can you see it? They left him there and went back home. At a certain season, Samuel began to grow up in the house of God, and he was ministering before the Lord. He was ministering before the Lord. Samuel grew up with Eli's two sons, and Eli's two sons are wicked guys. But because of God's purpose, hold that bell 1 minute. Because of God's purpose for his life, but Samuel kept himself from what Eli's sons were doing. I believe because he discerned God had a serious plan for his life. But at a certain season, he's ministering before the Lord. But there's another verse that says that he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So he grew into maturity as a result of the pattern that God gave him in Eli. He was able to keep himself from the things that would corrupt him. This is so good. Well, when Israel says, I want a king, eventually Eli's sight is getting dim. There's no open revelations, no vision, none of that. The lamp in the house of God is about to go out. Listen, and here's Eli, and the Lord appeals to Samuel. And Samuel is so connected to Eli's system that when God called him, even after ministering unto the Lord, he went to Eli. Because apparently Eli had become the voice of influence in his life. But Eli was never meant to become God. Why did he not know God's voice? Because had he known it was God, because God called three times. Why did he go to Eli all three times? That's who he had become familiar with. But Eli was representing God to Samuel, not himself. Now here's my last point. When Israel starts saying, we want a king. Wow. The thing didn't sit well with Samuel because he didn't think that was a good idea. God said, listen to him. I think they own this something. I'm going to give him one, but we're going to let him know what he's going to do to him. We're going to let him know. Well, God orchestrated a plan because it was time, listen, for something to happen. He let Saul's daddy's asses get away to get Saul away from his daddy's house. So he could get to Samuel. What Samuel what Eli had been to Samuel, Samuel is about to become it to Saul. Are you with me? Here's the progression. We're talking about Israel. If Saul would stay true to the purpose, he going to become it to David. If David stay true to the purpose, he going to become it to Solomon. But it experienced a breakdown. Here was the breakdown. Samuel gives Saul the instruction. Listen, because Samuel and them lost their way. So when you lose your way, God will always connect you with somebody to help get you back on course. It's a man of God in that city. He's an honorable man. If we go to him, surely he will tell us how to find our way. He's a seer. He's a prophet. Interesting. When this happens, he's away from his daddy's house. And Samuel says this to take the worry off of Saul's mind. Your daddy's ashes have been recovered. You can stop thinking about that now. God says to Samuel, this time tomorrow, a man going to come to you. God is always speaking to people about your destiny because he's always directing you where you should be. He's telling somebody what's going to happen tomorrow, today. But you have to believe in the person that you're walking with today for them to enlighten you on your tomorrow. Amen. Let me go over here to the green section. Amen. I'm finishing. I've so appreciated these young men that I keep hearing say all these things about you. I really saw a portrait of Eli with you. Because it takes a special man to care for another man's son. May the Lord increase your years. And I want you to hear this. I saw Lee Grady as your spiritual father. And I trust that every young man that connects to us would understand we have to not break the chain and be determined to be a strong link in the chain. What others have been to you, you should keep yourself, if not for you, for them. So you can do for them what someone else took our time to do for you. Amen. Even when it's painful, never take off after your desires. Listen, when you refuse to be still to build the discipline to keep them holy. Amen. Stay strong for somebody else, for the next man. Stay strong for the child that's going to come up in the home where there is no father. You become it. Amen. God turned you into different things as spiritual father. He turned Abraham into an intercessor for Sodom and Gomorrah. And God never told him he was going to be an intercessor when he told him to leave home. You get in designated places and other things begin to surface out of you. Because God is always addressing things with people. Always. Never say what you're not. Amen. Stay focused on who God has given you to help you to discover it. If God decided it, it's your responsibility to discover it. Even when you discover it, you need someone to help you define it. Now, they may help you define it, but they can't refine you for it. Holy Spirit refines you. But you have spiritual fathers in the body to help you define and develop. Amen, amen. Not just what you're going to do, because many men lost in what they're doing without knowing who they are. Well, the more we grow up, the more men like me become known, and we find less and less reason to keep walking with other men that we're accountable to. We needed men to help us enter seasons, but the more we become seasoned, we begin to feel like sometimes we don't need to walk with other people. I see it all the time. Wow. No one we bounce things off of because God gave us a revelation. That's good. I got, to this day, I have multiple men You know what I'm saying. Yeah, to this day, and I've been in ministry 30 years, but I got men in different places that are instrumental who's speaking to my life. Amen. And as a matter of fact, every one of them, our ministry has outgrown theirs. I've been privileged, over 40 people have been birthed in the gospel ministry through our ministry. But I still have men that I'm accountable to. Isn't that something? You know why I do that? Because I don't want to be lost in me. Because too many people connected to me for me to be lost in me. To this day, I still do it. To this day. Amen. To this day. Becoming a spiritual father is a pleasure. But as sons, you should help minimize our pain. Amen. Here's the deal. God didn't call me to get involved in their business. He called me to get involved in their life. Big difference. Well, at the end of the day, I can't tell you what to do. Well, even God don't tell you what to do because it would violate him making you a free moral agent. He gave you a will. Even God don't tell you what to do. He tell you what he requires of you. But you got to make the choice to do it. Do you receive it? Come on, do you receive it? Listen. The most important number in your phone should be your spiritual father. Amen. Whenever you're in a jam, you ought to call it. And you ought not let 2 months go by without checking on it. He ain't put there to chase you. You got to pursue him. Fathers don't pursue sons. Sons pursue fathers. Amen. Elijah didn't go after Elisha. He was sent to him. After that, he had to pursue him. Amen. Are you with me? I want to just declare generations of secure fathers, natural and spiritual, that each man in his proper season, listen, will release and reproduce seeds after their own kind in his proper generation. Come on, can you receive that with me? I'm talking about you. If God trusts Lee Grady with Bold Venture, it was a seed when he gave it to him. If he failed to take oversight of the seed, then he couldn't see the harvest that he see right now. He fathered the seed. I wasn't here. There's others that's a part of this harvest that's not here. Amen. Chris began to declare this morning, he got the victory for them who's not here yet. But when they get here, they need to be fathered, not churched. Church kill folks. Amen. Church kill people. They need to be fathered. Amen. We don't want to swap drugs for religion because it becomes a fix. Amen. Every day you ought to thank God for three things. I'm going to my seat. God gave you spiritual fathers. First of all, to govern you. Govern you. Wow. To guide you. Oh, that's good. And to guard you. They just like mothers. I don't know what it is about him, but it's something about him. I can't put my hands on it. You need to watch it when you're with him. Their instincts. They pick up from people around you because they don't have anything invested in them. They ain't making friends with your parents. They're making friends with you. So a parent has this instinct thing. They can look at a thing and know when it ain't right. So we guard our seed. Got it? We don't govern you to drive you to do that. We govern you until you get mature, and then we release you into the will of God for your life. We help govern you till you get boundaries. The Lord bless you.